Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm your host, Jason Logan. Welcome to the Wednesday podcast as we sit on the eve of March Madness with that opening round starting tomorrow. And it's wall-to-wall basketball betting for the next 4 days. Very, very exciting. One of the best times of the year to be a basketball fan, to be a sports bettor. It's going to be awesome. We're going to get you ready to bet the bracket. We got three guests today breaking down their best wagers for the NCAA tournament. And of course, we're going to have our guy, Arthur DeCesar from the Las Vegas Super Bowl, come in here, give us the action rundown on what's happening on Vegas here on the eve of March Madness. With me, as always, is my producer, Del. Del, are you, I got a big question for you. Are you a one bracket guy, or do you take the buckshot approach and fill out multiple brackets?
No, I stick to the solo bracket. I trust in my initial instinct. March Madness is all about instincts. You know, if you start to overthink it, that's when you start to make mistakes. No one really has any fucking clue up to an extent. You know, obviously, what teams are hot and what teams are not. But to an extent, you fill out one and you ride it to the end. How about you?
All right. So much more. I love you and much more respect for you now too, as a one bracket guy. I just one bracket to rule them all. I don't, you know, it's fun to fill it all out, but I just don't get it. You know, put that one shot out there. And like you said, ride it to the end.
Yeah.
I got a reminder this year. Oh, okay. I'm excited. Send that one to Warren Buffett. You could make $1 billion or something like that.
Yeah, it's.
I heard $1 billion, or he'll give you $1 million a year for the rest of your life, which just doesn't make any sense. So get that billion, and then you can, you know, and then we can all enjoy that one. A reminder that whether you fill out one bracket or multiple brackets, please rate and review the Sharp 600 podcast. Go in there, let us know what you like. Click the stars, do that whole thing. It allows us to expand our reach and really fine tune the show and give you what you want. And with that said, let's dive headfirst into the madness that is March. Our first guest here on the Sharp 600, covering the NCAA tournament here for Covers.com, our guy Chris Hatfield. Chris, what's up? How's your bracket sized up right now?
I think we're getting to the end of the road here, so I better have a good in. But how's it going, Jason?
Good, good. I'm happy you could join us here today. So when it starts the capping, the round of 64 and all those games, do you come in with some idea in mind as to potential good bets before the bracket is even set? Or are you really just looking at this matchup by matchup once it's all laid out?
It's kind of a catch-22 because I think sometimes you get such a big bias on a team and you look at the bracket and you're thinking right away, no matter what's going to happen, I'm going to fade this team. I kind of liken it to, like, it worked for those bettors, but like in the NFL with the Minnesota Vikings, I think everybody watched them the entire season was like, they get to the playoffs, I'm going to bet against this team. I try to ignore some of that, but, you know, some of those biases seep in and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't.
All right, so let's get right to the meat here. Give me your three favorite bets for the round of 64. Get in out of them pretty quick.
My first bet that I made was Houston, 19. It's up to 19 and a half. Northern Kentucky is a bad defensive rebounding team, and that's pretty much just like a nightmare against Houston, who top five offensive rebounding, does all these things great. You're giving a team that's much better than you second chance opportunities. I think it's going to be lights out. So that was the first bet I made. Penn State moneyline was a bet that I made recently. I think that's a really bad matchup for Texas A&M. I hate to fade Texas A&M because it was a team that I had a lot of futures on, and doing that out of the gate just really sucks. But it's a team that underscreens a lot, and that's not really going to work against Penn State shooters. They don't really defend shooters very well. Bully ball is not going to work against Penn State. They see teams in the Big Ten every game that are bigger than them, so it's not going to really affect them. They just played Zach Edey in the Big Ten championship. They're not going to back down from something like that. So Penn State moneyline +126. Then the other bet I made, and this has been one that has bounced up and down, is Utah State and two. Steam has went both ways on this game. It got down to a pick, and then there was some more buyback on Utah State. We were just talking about the bias and you know, watching these teams and getting to the tournament and saying, I'm going to fade this team. Missouri was one of those teams, and I just saw Utah State on the bracket, a team that does a lot of things right, and I couldn't avoid it. So I grabbed Utah State. I think Missouri plays a pretty unsustainable style of basketball, a lot of jump shots, and if those shots aren't falling, I think they'll fold pretty quickly.
All right. First half unders have been a popular bet in the round of 64 here over the past few years. Any derivative markets that you're looking at here for the tournament?
First half unders, it is that something that I've thought about the last few days, and I don't really have any data beyond this, but I'm going to start tracking it this year, is taking teams that have a lot more better coaching experience and taking that team on first to 10, first to 20, and seeing how successful that is. You look at a matchup like West Virginia and Maryland, Bob Huggins has a lot of tournament experience, good tournament experience. Kevin Willard is 0-4 and second weekend attempts. Not a great tournament team. Even looking at a team like Purdue, I know everybody's in a hurry to fade Matt Painter. If you can catch one of these 16 seeds, one of these 15 seeds on a first of 10 bet, that would be a pretty nice catch. So I'm looking to fade some of those coaches that have either a bad tournament record or just lack of experience.
All right. I'm a big fan of the first to 15, which is kind of the traditional one. We used to bet that one in Vegas every year, and it was awesome. Those are so much fun to play. All right, yeah. So consider another fun game to play, one that we do on the Sharp 600 here, is Mary Fuck Kill with some tourney teams. So Mary going to be the most likely, Fuck being possible, a sexy take, and then Kill being your fade. So the first one I'm going to throw out here is team to most likely make the Sweet 16. You have to Mary Fuck Kill. We've got Drake, Kent State, and Charleston.
I'm going to marry Kent State.
All right.
Absolutely love this team. I'm from Ohio, so I've watched a lot of this Kent State team. So being so close to it, you know, maybe put some bias on it. But they're super athletic, have a legit score in Sincere Carey. They have played Houston tough. They played Gonzaga tough. So they're not going to be scared of any of these teams they face. Indiana is a good matchup for them because they're used to pretty much doubling the post every go. I think they'll do that with Trace Jackson Davis, and we'll see how he responds. So I'm going to marry them. It's tough with the other teams because I'm not crazy about either one of those teams, but I'll say fuck Charleston just because there is some sex appeal there with Pat Kelsey. They run a really good offense. They're not a great shooting team, but they're a team that shoots a lot of threes. And if you're really looking for a Cinderella team, that checks one of the boxes of a team that just, you know, shoots a lot of threes. And if they go down, they can pull the upset. So they definitely check that box.
All right.
And then Drake, I'm going to, would you say, kill them?
You don't kill them.
I hate this matchup for Drake. I've liked Miami all season. Drake struggles to really just defend in ISO situations. And that's a bad, bad thing against Isaiah Wong, Jordan Miller, Nigel Pack, some of those guys. So, you know, I've seen a lot of love for Drake, and I've just not really understood it. But famous last words of a dying man there, I guess.
All right, next Mary Fuck Kill. One seed that will win it all but not cover a single spread. We've got Houston, Purdue, and Alabama.
Oh, man. It's a tremendous question, and I've thought about this a lot when you sent it over. I would have to marry Purdue. I don't think I fall in line with the conventional thinking on Purdue that I'm just simply not going to trust Matt Painter or Purdue basketball to do much of anything. But if they were to win the national championship, I do think the style of basketball they play, the possession length, and, you know, being so focused on Edie getting the ball would probably lend itself to some lower scoring games and some shorter margins. Fuck is the tough one here, but I would probably say Houston just because it can kind of go either which way, but they could really, there's a lot of variance there to where they could really just dominate teams with their defense and nobody really stands a chance. And I think they have good matches and matchups down the stretch. Yeah. They
Houston brings a lot to the bedroom, so
yeah, they're my title pick, and I love them a lot. And then Kill, I would say Alabama. If they're going to win it all, they're going to definitely cover a few spreads down the stretch and just dominate teams with their athleticism, their shooting, and Brandon Miller just being an absolute star. So yeah.
All right, last one here, Mary Fuck Kill. You got a team you have advancing deep in the tournament that's going to blow up your bracket this week. We've got Gonzaga, we've got Baylor, and we've got Marquette.
I like Marquette a lot, but I'm absolutely scared of this first round matchup. and scared of Shaka Smart's, kind of tournament record. One Final Four at BCU can only take you so long. I have Marquette going to the Final Four. But this matchup against Vermont, you know, when you're looking for Cinderella teams, you're looking for teams that do a really good job on the defensive backboard. They do that. Mm-hmm. They don't really have any interest in rebounding offensively because they want to get back mm-hmm. and defend. And they can grind out games, man. You're looking at a team that average possession length is in the 300s. So they're going to frustrate Marquette, who wants to get out and run and he wants mm-hmm. to have this high-flying offense, kind of like you see with Creighton. So that scares me a lot, just the tempo mismatch there. And I think that they would be the team most likely to go out and kind of blow up my bracket here.
Okay. And then we've got Gonzaga and Baylor. Who could possibly kind of fuck with it this weekend?
Gonzaga has kind of became like a trendy pick for a lot of people. And Gonzaga and Baylor kind of have both. And both of those teams fit the bill of really good offensively, have all these offensive elite like stats, but defensively they sit in the bottom of college basketball of possession scored against them. And that's not really been a historically good trend. It's actually been one that's conducive to upsets. There's been 20 to 25 teams like that since 2000 and I think it's 20 that have fit those metrics, and none of them have made the Final Four. It's conducive. So I think either one of those teams, I would say more likely would be Gonzaga just because they're susceptible to being kind of punched in the mouth and voting. Yep. We saw, sometimes the narrative is correct and it sticks with teams, right? We saw it in the national championship where Baylor just kind of punched him in the mouth and that was all she wrote. So yep. I could see that happening with Gonzaga again, maybe not against Grand Canyon, but in the second round against TCU or Nevada or somebody like that.
All right, and then Baylor. Baylor is that kill. You get a little more confidence in Baylor to stick around, make it to that second week of the tournament.
Correct, yeah. I just because of Scott Drew, more than anything else. You trust him.
All right, well, that's it. Thanks, Chris Hatfield, for joining us here on the Sharp 600. They can follow you, what is it, _ Chris Hatfield on Twitter? That's correct, and you're going to be covering the NCAA tournament for covers.com all month long. Thanks, man. All right, we're joined next on the Sharp 600 by our man, Rohit Panea, our lead college hoops analyst here at covers.com. Rohit, thanks for jumping on. Let's get right into the meat of it here. Give us your three favorite bets for round of 64.
All right, let's start off with one of the first games on the schedule, under in Virginia against Furman. Virginia, of course, one of the slowest paces in the country. Offense has been struggling since the start of February, but holding opponents to about 60 points per game. Now, Furman does have an efficient offense, but they play at an above-average pace, but they're not going to be able to implement that style against a team like Virginia. Usually seeing totals in the range of the 120s with Virginia games, but this is at 132, so give me the under there.
Okay.
Also loving UConn at minus 9.5. They had an ugly stretch at the start of conference play, but they looked good towards the end of the season. Absolutely dominated in non-conference play earlier in the year. Taking on the Gales, who've been decent on both sides of the ball, but don't really stand out in any one area. Haven't faced anybody on UConn's level this season. I'm definitely willing to lay the points with the Huskies here. Mm-hmm. And then finally, I'm loving the under team total for Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, taking on Alabama. Total sitting at 65.5 right now for the Islanders. They average about 78 points per game against Div 1 foes. But that's going up against one of the worst schedules in the country. Against Power 6 conference teams, they got shut down this year. 44 points against Mississippi State, 58 against Oklahoma State, 61 against a fast-paced Arizona team. Now they're playing the Tide, who one of the top defenses in the country. I believe third in efficiency on defense, tops in the country in effective field goal percentage. So expect the Tide to shut them down, especially since the Islanders lost their point guard to a season-ending injury.
Yeah, it's a rough one to have. All right, so you and I talked about this already this week, but any tournament futures, any prop stuff out there like team to win the region or number of conference teams to kind of advance forward here in the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, there's actually one I came across the other day which just looked amazing. I was on DraftKings. It was the seed number to win the tournament, and the number one seed is paying out at plus 125, plus money there. I mean, yeah, it is. Everyone's saying this is going to be a wide open tournament, but at the same time, a lot of times when that happens, the cream rises to the top. I think there's only been a handful of teams in the country that have been consistent this year. I think Alabama, Kansas and Houston have been three of those teams. Then you're getting to throw Purdue into the mix as well. I think one of those teams to win the title at plus money is great value.
Yeah, you got to think at least you get like two number one seeds in the Final Four, right?
Definitely. And then, that happens pretty much every year.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We see some sizable spreads in the round of 64. It can turn off casual bettors, and March Madness is for the people. So which big favorites should we have faith in when it comes to laying the lumber this weekend?
You know, for me, it's the Zags. You know, their line sitting right now at minus 14.5 against Grand Canyon. I mean, we've seen the Zags eat much more chalk than this before. I'm used to seeing them as, you know, 20, 25 point favorites in the opening round of the tournament. You know, this Zags team, I think people are sleeping on them a little bit, but they're still very fast paced, very good offense, played really well towards the end of the year. Grand Canyon, the Antelopes are a bit of a slower paced team, but they're not good enough to slow down a team like the Zags, who are going to run them off the floor. You know, they faced pretty weak competition this year, and I think they're going to get pumped against the Zags.
All right. All right. Quick game. One of a game that we like to play here on the Sharp 600. We just played it with Chris Hatfield. We're going to play it with you. A quick game of Mary, Fuck, Kill with some tourney teams. So Mary is going to be your most likely, Fuck being that possible kind of sexy pick, and then Kill being your ultimate fade. So the first Mary, Fuck, Kill situation I have for you is team to most likely make it to the Sweet 16. We're going to Mary, Fuck, Kill. We've got Utah State. We've got FAU and Penn State. What do you like here?
You know, I'm gonna marry myself to the Owls, Florida Atlantic. You know, I think they have a very good shot at beating Memphis in that first round. Very short line there, and you know, they're a good team that I think could shock a lot of people in the second round against Purdue. I'm gonna fuck Utah State. I will fuck around with them in this spot. You know, they can score points, and if you can catch on fire and shoot from deep, you can knock off a few teams. I do like them in their first round. And I think if they face Arizona in the second round, which they probably will, I think it's going to be a shootout. It could be anyone's game. And I am going to just murder Penn State there, because I've been watching the Nittany Lions all year, and they're just way too inconsistent.
All right. And maybe hit their peak in that Big Ten title game time.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, next Mary, Fuck, Kill situation. Which team can go all the way and play under the total in every single game? We've got Kansas, Houston, and Marquette.
Yeah, well, I'm going to kill Marquette there. I don't think they're quite on the same level as Kansas and Houston, even in far as going all the way. And then with their offense, I think it's going to be tough for them to be going under the total. Between Kansas and Houston, bit of a toss-up. I do think we're going to see a lot of lower totals out of Houston because of that defense and that slower pace. So I think I'm going to marry them. Oh, sorry, I think I'm going to fuck Houston, and I think I'm going to marry Kansas. We've seen in the past, Bill Self's teams always seem to play tougher defense during the tournament runs against tougher competition. And I think because of their offense, we're going to see some higher numbers as well, which makes it likely that we'll be able to cash in on the under.
All right. Yeah. And that defense is a consistency. They have some inefficiencies on offense, but that defense is always there for Kansas.
Definitely.
All right. Number three seed that will not make it out of the first weekend. We can marry, fuck, kill Gonzaga, Xavier, Kansas State.
Well, I already mentioned the Zags, and I'm, you know, laying the points with them. So that's what I'm going to kill. I'm going to fade the Zags as going out in the first round. Okay. Team that I'll consider fucking is Kansas State. You know, I really do like the Wildcats. I like how they've played all year. They've been battle-tested. They've got two very good players there. And I'll think they'll definitely make it past the first round. I have them getting it into the Sweet 16. So the team I'm going to say I'm going to marry as not making it out of the first weekend, team that I think could get really upset bad is Xavier. Vulnerable on defense, that's always a bad sign heading into the tournament. Had a season-ending injury to Zach Fremantle. They haven't looked quite the same without him. And this is a team that just didn't look great down the stretch. So I wouldn't be shocked if they end up losing in the first round.
All right. That's Rohit Panea, lead college hoops analyst here for Covers.com. You can follow him on Twitter, @Covers_Row. Rohit, man, thanks for jumping on.
Anytime.
2 minutes real time with Arthur DeCesar of the Las Vegas Superbook. Busy week, buddy. We're going to talk tournament futures first. Since the bracket has been set, which teams have drawn the most money to win the big dance?
I'd say out of the big boys, it's Gonzaga. They were like 20-1 2 weeks ago, now sitting 12-1. People believe again.
All right. Any teams on the lower end of the seeding seeing any futures love?
Yeah, six-seeded Creighton, 30-1. They've seen some love. And I guess you could throw Duke in there, even though it's Duke. Duke is 30-1. They're a 5 seed, taking some action.
They're a Cinderella this year, I told people. All right, which Which round of 64 spreads have seen the most movement since going up Sunday night?
It's got to be number 7, Boise, and number 10, Northwestern. We opened Boise a slight 1-point favorite. Northwestern now is a 1.5-point favorite.
All right. And which totals have you seen adjusted the most in the round of 64?
It's going to be West Virginia and Maryland. Total was as high as 140.5, under money, 137.5 now.
All right. We talk about this. March Madness is for the people. It's for the public. The public love upsets. Which underdogs are drawing action on the money line?
No surprise, it's two number 12 seeds, VCU plus 165 and 90.
People love their 12 over fives. First half unders have been a hot bet in the round of 64 over the past few years. What does that derivative market look like right now as we're closing in on day one?
Yeah, so that's something that we basically throw up this morning. We throw it up day before. So we'll obviously see a lot of action that comes in on that. And all the people that flood in today, they'll start hitting that market.
All right. We talked that you said there's some number 12 over number 5 upsets on the cards. Which 12 over 5 matchup do bettors believe is going to happen?
Well, I think another one you got to mention is Drake in Miami. It's a 2-point spread. I mean, these 12 fives have been so tight. So that's another one to keep your eye on, Drake.
All right. Who's the Cinderella team this year for you?
The Midwest region, number 7 seed, A&M.
Okay. And we got to get your best bet here before we go. Best bet for the round of 64. What do you like?
I'm going to the East region. Anytime I can fade Rick Barnes, I'm happy to do it. Give me Louisiana plus 11.5.
All right, that's it for this episode of the Sharp 600. Thank you, Arthur. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Ro. Thank you, Dell. Thank you for tuning in. And reminder, please rate and review the podcast when you get a few seconds. We will talk to you next Wednesday with that Sweet 16 shakedown. Until then, best of luck navigating the madness of March.